fear no evil, for my God is with me.
Good morning and welcome again for the third Sunday to this online worship service here during the season of the great global COVID-19 pandemic. Welcome to this service, those of you who are ordinarily here in this space gathering together with us, those of you who are tuning in online, perhaps through a link or happening on this website, we welcome you here as well. We welcome you because we are confident that God is with us wherever we are. We are here in an empty space, but we are connecting through the Spirit of Christ and through the modern media that we have available to you, and we want to together worship our Lord. At various times and places in the Christian church, it's not been possible for believers to get together during warfare, during natural disasters, during pandemics in the past, also during times where the governments shut down the churches. It's been particularly in those times that the Christian church has been tested, refined, and often grows in spiritual vitality in a way that it would not otherwise. I think we're in a moment like this in this nation and around the globe, a time for refining what is really important and noticing what really lasts. Our God is with us, as Alicia and Kyle sang for us here at the opening. This week I came across a number of slides that were part of a series in the Atlantic Monthly. Sort of fascinating. Here's a Catholic priest taking confession in an unusual way. He's got a blindfold on. Here's some medical personnel in England. We stay here, you stay there. Here's a fellow in full body armor enjoying the cherry blossoms in Washington, D.C. Here's a confectionery in Switzerland putting masks on Easter bunnies. And here's an unusual cake in Germany in a shape not usually used for that purpose. And then here's in Boston, the old State House, empty. Main Street in Mexico City, empty. The pyramids, Egypt, empty. This is all around the globe. New York City, Times Square, empty. In this time, it's people fleeing from the virus. And that's a good thing, to take refuge, to take shelter. But we cannot flee God, and we don't want to flee God. The virus is an enemy. God is our friend, our refuge, our strength. And as it says in Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your right hand, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's in the presence of this Spirit that we gather and that we trust you are connecting as well to this worship service. Please join me in prayer. Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon your broken, your sick, your fearful, your sinful world. You created it good, but there are bad things here as well. And we know that you care deeply about redeeming, saving, helping, healing, and sheltering. I pray especially for those who have become sick with this virus and who are struggling for life, struggling for breath. We pray for them. Lord, have mercy. We pray as well for the medical staff of all kinds and the scientists who are working to mitigate, to heal, to help those in great distress. Lord, have mercy upon them. We pray for our government authorities, our leaders who are seeking to be courageous and good leaders in this time. Empower them, Lord, to be just that, the kind of leader that is necessary in this moment. Lord, have mercy. We think of our business owners, those who are facing difficult choices and the financial fallout from this. Lord, have mercy. We pray for people who have been laid off, those who have lost their jobs, those who wonder whether they will have a job in a couple weeks. Lord, have mercy. We pray for this congregation. We pray for other people of faith that in our witness and in our work, we will reflect Jesus Christ and the Spirit that he so ably enacted and showed in his ministry here, willing to sacrifice, to heal, to bring good news. Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of Jesus, we pray all of this. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, for those good words and prayers on behalf of our people. We have a number of announcements that we'd like to share with you this morning. First of all, just a couple of reminders. A reminder that the pastors are putting out a series of videos every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. These are spiritual reflections, just brief 5 to 10 minute devotional kinds of thoughts that will come from one of the pastors or one of the other leaders here at church. During this time of increased disconnection and isolation, we want to be extra intentional to speak into the life of our congregation, particularly on spiritual matters. So check those out. Those videos can be found on our church website as well as on our church Facebook page. Also remember that our church now has a Zoom account. Zoom is a video conferencing platform that allows us to connect virtually. Almost all of our meetings for the past 2 weeks have taken place through this Zoom platform. And a number of our BFGs are having their Bible fellowship group via Zoom online for the first time this weekend. And so we just want to bless that and encourage that. Any opportunity for us to gather virtually and connect with one another is a good thing. And I will just add on that point, this does not have to be like a formal group that is meeting. In fact, one of our students turns 8 years old today, and his mom emailed us and said, could we set up a Zoom gathering for his Sunday school friends to get together and wish him a happy birthday? Absolutely. That's a perfect example of the kinds of connection that we want to foster. So we just want to keep getting the word out. It is important for us to keep physical distance, but we also want to remain connected relationally and spiritually as well. So if you want to schedule a Zoom gathering, or if you have questions about how to use any of that, please contact any of us pastors or the church office. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, which is a significant Sunday in the life of the church, in the church calendar. One of the things that we often do on Palm Sunday is we have our kids involved in that service, waving palm branches, singing, reciting part of the story of Jesus' triumphal entry. And we are going to try to emulate that in a virtual kind of way. And so Bronwyn, our children's ministry director, has put an email out to parents with kids with instructions for how we can create an element of that. And so for parents, just a reminder that we are asking for you to work with your kids to create some palms and then send us a video clip of your kids waving those palm branches. We're going to put those together in a compilation to share next Sunday. So please, parents, get us those videos of your kids waving their palm branches by Wednesday, April 1st. And then finally, the last announcement is related to finances and to giving. I shared last week some of the ways that we are hoping to respond to the financial needs that this crisis is sure to create. Let me say just a little bit more about that now. A reminder that we have a sharing fund in place to help members of our own congregation who are experiencing financial needs. And so we just want to say very clearly, if you are hearing this, if you are a member of our congregation and you are experiencing some kind of financial difficulty, or if you are aware of somebody in our congregation who is experiencing financial difficulty, please reach out to us and let us know. We have resources available for that. That is why the Sharing Fund exists. Then in addition to our Sharing Fund, which is geared toward our members, we also have budgeted funds available for community needs outside of our own congregation. And in fact, at the church board meeting this past week, the board took action to quadruple the amount of community needs funds available for this year. During this time of financial strain in the lives of so many of our friends and our neighbors, we see this as just a really practical, tangible way that we can extend the love of Christ to those in need. And we're going to be relying on you, the congregation, to help make us aware of what those needs are in our broader community. And so a few of us pastors, we actually created a short video to explain how this community needs process works. You can find that video, again, on our church website, on our church Facebook page. We will also be including that in the midweek email this coming week. So be on the lookout for that, for a further explanation of how we can extend the love of Christ through this community needs fund. Now, the reason that we are able to do these kinds of things and respond to those kinds of needs is because of the generosity of this congregation. You may recall before this crisis hit, when we were still gathering in person, we had just finished a sermon series called Becoming. We were asking, what kind of church is God calling us to become? And one of the Sundays we focused on generosity. God is calling us to become a generous church in a greedy world. And so we want to thank you, congregation, for the ways that you have been generous, and we want to encourage you to continue doing that. You can continue during this time giving to the church by mailing checks to the church office, signing up for automatic giving, or making donations through the website. Now, we also want to be clear in all of this. The reason that we are encouraging you to continue to give is not primarily for the church's sake. And it is not even only so that we can continue to be generous, but it is also for your own sake, for your own spiritual formation as well. We know that Scripture teaches, Jesus teaches, that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, how we use the resources that God has given us is deeply connected to the most core part of our being and who we are. And so as a church and as pastors, especially during this time of so much uncertainty, we want to call us to continue trusting in God above all else. And one of the really tangible ways to express that is by being generous with our resources. So we invite you and encourage you to continue to do that. Well, this time we are going to transition into a children's moment. Ms. Bronwyn is going to come and she is going to share a special word, especially for the kids who are watching. Bronwyn.
All right. Good morning, boys and girls. This morning I would like to begin by sharing with you a true story. One year at Christmas time, we decided to make cinnamon ornaments. And cinnamon ornaments are like Play-Doh, but they smell really good. So we thought this was a great idea to hang on our Christmas tree. Well, a few days later, I noticed that some of our ornaments were falling off our tree. I thought, well, that's kind of odd, but then not really, considering the chaos sometimes in our house. But then we started noticing that some of our ornaments looked like they were being eaten. So the kids and I gathered around the Christmas tree, and we were studying the Christmas tree kind of in confusion. And then one of the kids says, shh, I think I hear something. So we all peered at the Christmas tree, looking all over it. And suddenly, to our surprise, where we were looking was, yes, a squirrel. We all screamed, me being the loudest, and then, which scared the squirrel, who ran out of the tree, and then we scattered as well. I pushed one of my kids out of the way as I ran to my garage and locked myself in the car. Granted, this was not one of my finer moments, but I do not like rodents. I have a fear of rodents, especially in my house. So, how can we overcome our fears? Pastor Kyle is going to speak to us in a few minutes on courage. But how can we feel courageous when we're scared? I have an empty vase here, and this water is going to represent our fears. So let's think of some of the things that we might be scared of. Maybe we're scared of thunderstorms. Maybe we're scared of spiders or snakes or even big dogs. Or maybe, like me, you're scared of rodents. Or maybe, let's be honest, right now, maybe we're kind of afraid of the coronavirus. In Isaiah 43, it says, do not fear. And we count how many times God tells us not to fear. It's over 80 times. But how can we overcome these real fears? God tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. So instead of focusing on our fears, let's take some time to thank God for some things in our lives. We might be thankful for our family, friends, our home, maybe pets. Maybe we are thankful for the sunny days when we can get outside. And let's say technology, so we can meet together and talk together. Some of our fears are going out. We're chasing some of our fears away. So I think we can chase even more of our fears away. When we praise God, they can leave, But also, God refers to himself as a rock. And a rock is very strong. And a rock, God can help us be courageous and give us courage. In Psalms, it says, "Who is our rock except our God?" God can help us overcome our fears. So when we place God in our lives and give some of our fears to him, more of our fears are bubbling out and over. But you know what? Our fears are becoming less, but they're still in here. In Jeremiah 5, God says, "I made the sand a boundary for the sea, an everlasting barrier it cannot cross. The waves may roll, but they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it." Our fears are still here, but they are becoming less. God made the sand, and he designed it to keep the sea where it belongs. He made the whole world, and he is in charge of it all. God has also placed people in our lives to help us overcome our fears. Our parents, friends. We can't see a lot of our fears anymore, but we can praise God, who is our rock, that we have less, and we can focus on who he is and know that he is in control. We have an awesome God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for chasing our fears away. Even in these uncertain times, you know our future. Please help us to continue to praise you and trust you. We love you, Lord. Amen. Now, you may be wondering what happened to our Christmas squirrel. Rest assured, he did leave our home, but then his relative showed up. But that's a story for another time.
Good morning, church. This morning, I will be reading our passage from Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. It says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This passage that I just read from is one that I preached on twice before. Once at a memorial service, and once to the youth up in Vermont at Bethany Birch's camp during their high school week. The title for today's message is called "Stocking Up on Courage in a Time of Crisis." Why stock up? Well, this seems to be what people are doing right now with what's going on around us. We see people stocking up on food and toiletries and other essential needs to last them 2 weeks or more with this global pandemic. And as I read and see what's going on in the world right now, I think of these words that the Lord said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." In chapter 1 here in Joshua, we read that Joshua just lost a friend, mentor, and father figure in Moses. He must have been devastated in trying to deal with that. And on top of that, he's immediately thrown into a leadership position and immediately told to take on a huge task of going into the promised land. How could Joshua fill the shoes of Moses, someone who did great things with the Lord? Well, you see, I believe that Joshua wasn't stocking up on food, water, or other things. I would say that Joshua was stocking up on strength and courage from the Lord. I have this picture here because just about each time in Scripture when we read someone telling someone else to be courageous, we also see almost each time, "Do not be afraid." As Bronwyn said, it's over 80 times in the Bible. But next to strength and courage, we also see this almost each time, "Do not be afraid." Well, let's take a look at how many times Joshua heard these words of strength and courage. Who did Joshua hear from? Well, as we see in our passage that I read earlier, we read that Joshua heard from God. Now, Joshua is about to take over this leadership position of the Israelites, and they're about to go into the promised land. And after years and years of wandering through the desert, it's now time. Joshua is now in command. Was there fear? Was there anxiety? Was there worry? I'm sure of it. But at the beginning of this book, we read that the Lord tells Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." We actually read in this first chapter of Joshua that God tells Joshua 3 times to be strong and courageous. He says, "Be strong and courageous." And he says, "Be strong and very courageous." And finally, he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid." Joshua was taking on this very important task. Going into the promised land is something that the Israelites have been longing for. And as I said, the time was now. Joshua was in those shoes of Moses, and I'm sure he was thinking that he was not enough, thinking that he wouldn't be able to do this. But you see, as God was giving him instructions on crossing the Jordan and the land that he was going to be taken, he made sure to encourage Joshua as well. When you feel like you're not enough, when you feel like you can't press on, when you feel like the suffering's too much, when your thoughts are bringing you down rather than raising you up, be strong and courageous because the Lord is there with you, helping you press on. Now, why do I say that Joshua was stocking up on courage? Well, because this wasn't actually the first time Joshua was hearing about strength and courage. God was preparing Joshua for this time by working through Moses, telling Moses to make sure Joshua takes heart. We know of 2 times when the Lord commanded Moses to encourage Joshua. In the beginning chapters of Deuteronomy, Moses is wanting to go across the promised land with the Israelites. But because of the Israelites' sin, he's not allowed. And the Lord tells Moses, "Encourage and strengthen Joshua for this task." And then we come to the end of Moses' life. And in Deuteronomy chapter 31, we read that Moses, in front of all of Israel, and he tells them this in verse 6. He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. Do not be afraid or terrified of them, those who are in the promised land, for God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And then after this, after Moses says this in front of all the people of Israel, he calls Joshua forward. So Joshua would have been in that crowd. And he calls Joshua forward and he repeats these words, but to Joshua now, saying, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So we see here in both cases, Moses tells the people and Joshua, not only do we not need to be strong and courageous, but we not need be afraid. In addition to this, in both cases, Moses tells the people and Joshua that the Lord will be with them, that the Lord will never leave them. What an amazing promise. If you heard the message last week that Pastor March preached on, he talked about hope. And each letter of hope had a different meaning to it. And for H, it had hold on to the promises of God. My friends, this is one of those promises. God will never leave you. God will not forsake you. God will be with you wherever you go, because we can be courageous from that. Choose courage over fear, for God is with you. Now, after Moses says these words to Israel and Joshua, we then see in the same chapter, Deuteronomy 31, the Lord's command to Joshua directly. Says this in verse 23, the Lord gave this command to Joshua, son of Nun, be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land that I promised them on oath, and I myself will be with you. I myself will be with you. So when God was giving these words to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, this should not only be a reminder to Joshua of what his mentor said to him, but also what the Lord said to him as well. But Joshua hears these words of strength and courage from the people in addition to Moses and God, his community. As Joshua was rallying the people together, preparing them to cross the Jordan, they cried back to him, only be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. We can be strong and courageous together as a community, helping one another together because we believe in the promises from God that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us. And we see these words of strength and courage in more passages throughout Scripture. Joshua recites it to the people when they're fighting the four kings of Ammon. David recites it to his young son Solomon, and then again when Solomon is about to become king. King Hezekiah uses these words to encourage his people to not be afraid, but be strong and courageous as they face the king of Assyria. Paul writes these words to the Corinthians, telling them to stand firm in their faith, be courageous and strong. And as I said earlier, almost all of these passages have with it, do not be afraid. God is with us. Choose courage over fear because the promises of God are true. But what about Jesus? When it comes to our Lord and Savior, what does he have to say with the promise of not leaving us? When it comes to our Lord and Savior, what does he say about stocking up on courage and strength? Well, in John chapter 14, we come across a comforting passage that Jesus says in verse 18. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. And he goes on to say, I will come to you. This comes in the middle of his talk with the disciples, telling them that he needs to go back to the Father. But Jesus was not leaving them, nor us, as orphans. No. Jesus needed to go back to the Father in order for the Holy Spirit to be sent to us. Friends, God has a desire to have a special relationship with us, even in the midst of our trials, our sufferings, and our pain. I love this photo that's up on the screen right now. You see, it almost looks like the hand of a baby in the palm of a parent. But I would just invite you to imagine that that is your hand in the palm of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father who is so big and can hold us in the palm of his hand, letting us know that he is there with us. God desires to have a special relationship with us. So when Jesus ascended to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to live within his followers. The Holy Spirit will not forsake us, will not leave us. This is God still pouring out his promises to his people. And we, as followers of Jesus Christ, can hold on to that. Be strong and courageous when it comes to this. Why? Because as the Holy Spirit lives within us, we are told by the Apostle John that greater is the one living within you than the one that is living in the world. Greater is the one living within you than the one living in the world. Earlier, I said how King Hezekiah uses the words be strong and courageous and do not be afraid as they were faced with the king of Assyria and his army. But he also says something else to his people when they were threatened. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and his vast army that is with him. For there is greater power with us than with him. There is greater power with us. The power of God is greater, and that lies within us with the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God for sending his son to die for us. Praise be to God for the courage and strength of Jesus Christ, who died a brutal death as his hands were stretched out on that cross for us. Praise be to God for the free gift of salvation that we receive as followers of Jesus. Praise be to God for bringing Jesus back to him to sit at his right hand so the Holy Spirit can be sent to live within us. Praise be to God for the power that is greater that lives within us. Be strong and courageous, friends. Greater. Do you hear that? Greater. Be strong and courageous during these times, because greater is the one living inside of you. The one who lives inside of you is greater. So what's the main point from all this? Well, I want to offer 2 points when it comes to this. I actually want to offer 2 ways we can change our thought process. Being in our current situation, we can tend to think that we can't do anything right now. We can't go here or there. We can't visit this person or that family member. We can't spend much money on there because we're not sure what our job situation looks like or what our income looks like. And my friends, I would just invite us to change our thought process from what I can't do to what can God do. Change our thought process to what can God do. God promises to not leave us or forsake us, but he can do many great things as well. Let us give it to him. God, I may not be able to do much right now. God, I acknowledge that I am cooped up inside on a rainy day, and it's difficult that I can't go to a park and play with my son. I can't take my son to visit friends or anything like that, and I can't do this, God, I can't do this, but Lord, help me shift my mindset to focus on what can you do? What can you do during this time, Father? I trust in that. Even though I may not know what you can do, even though I can't even comprehend what you can do because it is so great, Father, I focus on you who can do many things. I believe in that, Lord God. I trust in that. Help me, Lord God, to shift my mindset from what I can't do to focus on you as the center and what you can do. And my second point is this. Some of us are dealing with some serious problems right now. You know, some of us may be starting to just feel the pinch. Some of us are having a full-on gut punch right to us right now. And some of us are just flat-out stuck. I would invite us to change our thought process from my problems to God's power. Remember, greater is the one living inside of you. And I'm not saying forget about your problems. I'm saying give them over to God because he has the power to help you overcome your problems. So what can we do? Well, I would actually invite you to meditate on the good word. Going back to Joshua chapter 1, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous, but he continues. He says this, starting at verse 7, he says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Friends, let us be careful with our days here on earth. Let us study the truth together, being careful to obey the words the Lord has given to us. So as the Lord told Joshua to meditate on the word, I'm going to ask you to meditate on this with me. Meditating on the word with me, starting today, not tomorrow, not the next day. It can be so easy to tell ourselves, I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and then we'll say, you know what, I'm busy today, I'll do it tomorrow. No, not tomorrow, today. I ask you to start with me today. Starting in the Gospel of John, reading a chapter a day, starting with chapter 1 today. Read it in the morning and then read the same chapter again at night. You'll be surprised at how you can find something that you may have missed before. But I ask you to meditate on the word with me, starting today. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is that you're hearing this message and hearing my voice, I ask you to start today. You'll be glad you did. And it's so important, especially during times like these, to have the word of the Lord on your heart and your lips. We have an enemy, friends. And at times like this, he can thrive if we let him. Just this week, I found myself discouraged because yet again, another email was being sent to parents and youth because another youth event was canceled. After I sent that email on Tuesday, I said to a friend, I said, man, this is tough. Yet another youth event canceled, and I'm just feeling so discouraged. But I looked down at the scripture that I was studying on this week, opened on my desk with the words underlined, be strong and courageous. God tells us, I am the Lord your God, and I promised you that I will never leave you. And my, how quickly I forgot those words and let the enemy get a hold of my thoughts. Meditate with me, friends, day and night on the good word, so we can hold on to the promises of God that Pastor Mark said last week and not be so quick to let those promises go. In the beginning of the message, I mentioned that Joshua lost a friend, a father figure, and a mentor in Moses. But he was strong and courageous through it because he knew the Lord was with him. You know, maybe some of us are watching right now and we've lost our jobs. Or we lost our child care, or we lost a paycheck, or something else. And on top of it all, we're dealing with a global pandemic, unsure of what's going on, what will tomorrow bring, and we're just stuck in the unknown. Be strong and courageous, friends, because there's something I do know in this time of unknown. God is greater. God can do many great things. He is powerful. He will never leave you. God is before you. He is behind you. He is beside you. He is above you. He is beneath you. God is with you. God is in you. God is for you. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? From Psalm 27. Isaiah 41, for I am the Lord your God who takes a hold of your right hand and says, do not fear, I will be with you. 1 Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The Lord is our light and salvation. We do not fear in darkness. The Lord has our right hand and he will help us. We cast our worries onto him because he cares for us. Be strong and courageous, friends. Your storms are only temporary, but the promises of God last forever. The Lord keeps his promises. Let me say this. This message I'm bringing to you right now, it may not be for you. And that's okay. It really is okay. But maybe you know somebody who needs to hear this right now. Maybe in your mind right now, you're thinking of someone who needs to hear these words of stocking up on courage over fear. Someone who needs to hear the words that from Jesus that he will not leave them as orphans. Someone who needs to hear the words that when they follow Christ, they will not be in darkness. And they can have the one who is greater living inside of them. You might be thinking of someone who needs to hear this right now. And so if you feel like this message of courage may be something that wasn't for you, but you're thinking of someone who needs to hear this right now, I ask you, do you have the courage to send it to them? It's as simple as copying and pasting the link and putting it in an email or text message. Let that person know you were thinking of them during this, that they were on your mind. Just this week, I'm in a text group with a couple of friends, and we received a text message from someone that encouraged us to send the devotionals and the sermons that have been online to our neighbors. What an amazing challenge. And each one of us responded back saying, that's a great idea. And I give that challenge to you right now. Is there somebody that you know that needs to hear this? Would you send it to them? I would just say this, just because we are in our houses and not supposed to have physical contact, that doesn't mean the power of Christ cannot work. Greater. Remember that. Alicia and I are about to sing a song called Waymaker. And let me just read to you some of the words from this song. It says, you are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. As we sing this song, I invite you to just close your eyes and listen to these words. Be strong and courageous, my friends. God is with us, making a way. In your stillness, feel the power of the one who is greater living inside of you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for being the way maker. I thank you, God, for being the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. God, I thank you for being the one who is greater, the one who lives inside of us. God, you are great and you can do many things. We worship you, O God, you who are here, moving in our midst. God, I ask during this time that you give us the strength and courage we need. God, we trust in you. We believe in your promises. We are holding on tightly to your promises, Lord, knowing that you are here. We pray this in your powerful, your great name. Amen. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper.
stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Amen. Friends, hear these words again from Joshua chapter 1. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, whatever you face, however long this COVID crisis lasts, the Lord our God is with us. So as we head into this new week, may our focus shift from our problems to God's presence, from what we can't do to what God can do. And may we meditate together on God's word, holding fast to the promises of God. May you go in peace and with courage. Amen.
My soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior.